the mighty Red Sea. And he said, I'm going to lead you. Just follow me. Oh, how great is our God. How great is his name. For he's the greatest one. Forever the same. Oh, yeah, you roll back the waters of the mighty Jesus breaks the bands. As I raise my hands, giving glorious victory, He gives strength to me.
It's good to be here this evening. Aren't you glad to be in church? Excited about that. It's good to be back home. We were gone all weekend. Went up to visit a natural family, and then we went to church in Republic Church, and they're really doing good. They've got some new people, and there's a lot of excitement there. And so it was a good weekend. We got back home about 8 o'clock, and Joey was there, Brother Smith. That was the first time he'd been there in quite a long time. And we helped him pray back through to the Holy Ghost. So they're doing good. And so but we had a good time, but it's good to be back home. And I appreciate, it's just totally different. I used to think that church in Republic was a pretty fair-sized building. But stay here for a while, then you go to a church that size and it's dinky. It's just really small. You can't hide. And that's how a lot of us came up, isn't it, in a real small church. I know some came in under Brother Tucker when there was a lot of people in here, but I God brought me to the body, and we started having meetings in homes, Brother Doug and Sister Yvonne's home, and you couldn't hide there. You couldn't get behind anybody, or you couldn't sit behind an instrument, or you were out there. And I remember when we first came in, Brother Smith really worked a lot on, because it was still a fairly new church. They just moved from Winters, and we were getting some new people like myself and my family, and then Jerry York family came in, and some other people came in, and he really started working on developing a service. And I remember Brother and Sister Smith, they always would lead out, they'd be the first ones to get out there and dance or to clap their hands. And where I came from, on my mom's side, they're all old Pentecost. And in old Pentecost, they believe that you don't really move out until you're in the Spirit. And usually when they move out, it was a wild gyration. They'd go everywhere. And they'd fall on the floor, and, you know, they'd spin and dance, and they'd keep their eyes closed, and it's Katie bar the door. Here they come. And I remember going there when I was small, and my cousin would sit next to me, and all of a sudden, you know, she'd be sitting on the end, and we'd be singing a song, nobody doing anything, not even clapping their hands, and just all of a sudden, she'd start screaming and hollering and start spinning in the aisle, scare me to death. And I just thought that's how services were, and it was hit and miss, and I know Brother Smith has been working on that some, you know, but when I got saved when I was 16, went to a small church, and they had a bulletin, and you knew what three songs they were going to sing, and you knew what the sermon was going to be like. And when I came here, it was completely different. They taught me that you don't raise your hands because you're in the Spirit. You raise your hands to get in the Spirit. And it was exactly opposite of what it was in Babylon. In fact, they taught me that before you come to church, you start getting ready for church that morning. You know, that's exactly right. When you get up in the morning, you need to start developing an anticipation for church. Brother Crow, can you remember back when you and Sister Crow were just dating or maybe just newly married? You'd been out in the field all day, and you'd been thinking about your wife. I get to go home, and I get to see her, and she's probably got some good pan-fried chicken for me. Been away working hard all day, thinking about that little woman, how much I missed her. You were excited to get home. Started in the morning as soon as you left out for work. Well, if you've been married for any length of time, you know that after you've been married for several years, if you're not careful, that anticipation becomes common. You know, you and your spouse just become common. You got to work on that, just in like it is in a natural marriage. You know, there's a problem in this world today. You can go to Christian bookstores and they have shelf after shelf after shelf on how to renew the spark. How to have a 50-year marriage and still be happy. Well, I think it's just you got to keep that anticipation. You got to keep that love fresh in your heart. You got to become friends with each other, and that's what they told me when I first came to the body. You know, when you get up in the morning, start thinking about God, especially if it's a Sunday or a Wednesday, and then be careful. Be careful during the day. Not to fill your head up and your life up. And we live in such a busy time, it's hard not to just to fill your life up if you're not careful with things. I get to work at 6 in the morning, and I just run until 3 o'clock when I get off. If you call me on the cell phone, maybe I'll answer it, and maybe I won't. You know, I'll try to get back with you, but we're short on people, and I'm trying to do my job, and you just you don't have a lot of time to think about God. And I eat my truck, I eat my lunch in my truck driving from one school to the other, and really don't even have time to sit down to do anything, but to find a time to be able to slow down. They told me that before church, be careful what you read, be careful what you watch on TV, be careful what you listen to on the radio, to build that anticipation, because it was D.L. Moody that said, you will receive what you come expecting. Expect a miracle. And I remember there was a time for a while that we'd come in early. I think y'all did that here too. You'd come in early and you'd pray, and my, some of the good services we'd have. And that was because that you were putting the flesh down. A lot of times we make the mistake, we feel like, well, we're going to put the flesh down when we get to church. But when you come to church, you really do need to have the flesh already put down. But I'm guilty, like everybody else. There are services where I've tried, and I just can't get my mind off of something. You ever had that? I know Brother Smith always used to teach, you know, he said, when you come to church, leave your problems outside. You know, put them in a bag and leave them outside and put your name on it and If you want, pick them back up when you go out. Or I always wanted to leave my bag of troubles, but nobody would take them. You know, when we were out here, my van was broke into 3 times. Stole a bunch of tools. But I'll guarantee you, if I would have left my sack of troubles out there with a sign on them, please take me free, they'd still be there. Nobody wants your troubles. But he used to tell me, and he'd tell the church, he'd say, when you come, he said, leave your problems out there. But then I want to add to that, too. That is true, because you can come to church and you can be so distraught or so consumed on some other project or a problem that you can't even get your mind on God. But, you know, this is a good place to bring problems. If you have a problem, this is the best place in the world to bring a problem and to put it at the altar. But then to know, Brother Smith used to tell me, Brother Ayers was there, Brother Smith, at that party Saturday night. He said to say hello to everybody. And so hello from Brother Ayers, mostly the Republic people. They know him real well. Brother Ayers used to, because he's the one that found my wife and I. Our van was broke down, and he helped us, and we became very good friends with him. And after service, or maybe the next day, we'd go to his house, and we'd always have malted milks and ice cream, and he'd ask me, what was the service about? What scriptures were used? And I'd say, I don't know. Who was there? Well, I was there, and Brother Smith was there, and Sister Smith was there, and, well, what were some of the songs that they sang? I said, I don't know. And I found out that when you're in a service, the more senses that you can get involved to participate in a service, hearing and touch and seeing, the more you can get involved in a service, the more you're going to retain. And I appreciate the overhead projectors that we have here, but even then, once in a while, you need to get your Bible out, open it up, and read along with it, and then make notes. I used to make a lot of notes, especially in my Bible. I remember one of the first doctrines that Brother Smith started working on was the book of Revelations, and he was teaching out of the 6th chapter, and I completely misunderstood it. I wrote in my Bible what those 4 horses were and what the scales were, and I wasn't smart enough to write it in pencil, so I could erase it. I wrote it in indelible ink. And now there's parts of my Bible where you open it up to, and there's all kinds of scratch marks on there. I scratched out things and wrote over it 3 or 4 or 5 times until I feel like I finally got it right. But they told me that if you would take notes, pay attention in service, you'd get more out of it. And I used to do that with my children. You can ask Matthew. Didn't I used to do that? I'd say, what was service about? What did Brother Smith preach on? Give me 1 or 2 scriptures that he used. And I challenge you, some of you all here tonight, after service, give 1 or 2 scriptures that are used. We need to train our mind to focus on the things of God, because I feel this is important. I feel that serving God and coming to church and learning about God and feeling His Spirit and learning to blend is the most important thing you can do in your life. So I want to put effort into it. Brother Brandon, he's been putting a lot of effort into getting scholarships. He wants to go to college and do good. And I'm glad he's got that desire. But I want to put that same type of effort into getting a scholarship from God, getting a recognition from Him, and getting a pass from Him to go on. And I know it's going to take effort on my part. Another thing Brother Smith used to tell us was that when you come to Bible, don't do your Bible reading in church. Now, that may sound strange, but let me clarify that. You can look at, we used to read 1 or 2 or 3 verses, and then you'd get interested. And I've done this. You know, it's a verse maybe that you really like, and you just start reading. And before long, you've got 3 or 4 chapters read, and you don't know what anybody said. So it's good that you read the Bible, but he said, do your Bible reading at home. Open your Bible and turn to the scriptures that we're working on. Make notes on there, but don't do your Bible reading. And I've had to work on that. In fact, there's been times, especially when Brother Smith or Brother Daniels, Brother Tally McGowan or Brother Michael Smith, some of these men get up, and if you're a minister, they'll say something and it'll pique your interest, and you'll think. And you brethren have all done it, and you'd all say, that'd make a good message. I'm going to study that out. I'm going to study that out a little bit. And before you know it, you're deep in a Bible study of your own and you have no idea what's going on around you. Well, you've just lost. You may have got a Bible study ready, but you've lost what God was trying to do for you in that service. So he told me that. He said, leave your Bible studies and leave your Bible reading at home. Come here and then participate. Learn to pay attention. And then learn to fill out on the Spirit. And then he also told me this. He said, you don't have to be a big part in a church service. You just have to be a part. And I found that to be true, too. Because I'm a phlegmatic melancholy. And there are several of you here that are phlegmatic melancholies. And when we do something, we want to do it the right way. That's why it was so difficult for me to blend my spirit when it came to dancing in the Spirit, because I wanted to do it right. I thought there was a right way. So I would study how Brother Ayers would dance, maybe Brother Doug or Brother Smith, and I'd watch him and go home and practice. I wanted to make sure I did it right. Well, I found out you just got to let it go. This is a common salvation for common people. And you just have to get in there and do it. You can't practice it. And then I found out I used to play the drums. Played the drums every service. Never really, I wasn't like Joel. And I miss him already. I wish he'd hurry back. He gets in your heart, doesn't he? He's just got such a spirit toward God. And I'd play the drums. We had Brother Michael used to get on the piano. And he would play the harmonica and the piano at the same time. He had a little strap, and he'd do it. He was like a two-man band. It's because there wasn't a lot of us. You remember doing that, don't you? There wasn't a lot of us. Brother Smith, he'd play his guitar, and Brother Doug would play his guitar, and I'd play the drums, and Brother Michael would be on the piano with his harmonica. But even then, I take my responsibilities serious. And so when they said, we want you to, I found out that music is real important. And aren't we blessed with a lot of musicians here, singers and musicians, songwriters. You know, you can go to a church three times this size and not find half the talent that we have here. I'm thankful that God's blessed us with all this talent, because music is an important way to build on a service. Brother Smith talked about that last time, well, it was actually last Wednesday, about the song leaders, how they would start seeking out for God and the channel and the songs that God wanted, even before they'd come to church. And they take that responsibility seriously. Well, I did that on the drums, too. And you couldn't get me off the drums, because I thought, well, I'm doing my part. I'm doing my part to bring in the Spirit. And if I quit playing, the Spirit isn't going to move, maybe like God wants it to, because we need the music. I found out that every once in a while, even a musician, even a drummer, even a guitar player or a banjo player, people that work up in the sound booth, every once in a while, they got to get out and they got to get in the Spirit, because you can actually dry up trying to bring in the Spirit. You know, and that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to be faithful to the position that was given to me playing the drums, but I just about dried up. In fact, I almost got to the place where I thought, I don't even want to play these things anymore, because you'd see the people out there and getting in the Spirit, and there you were, banging on the drums, doing your little part. Brother Smith said, put the drumsticks down. The Spirit's going to go on. And we did that. There was a couple times we did it. Brother Smith told everybody, just stop playing. And you know, the Spirit didn't quit moving. I quit playing the drums. Brother Doug used to get drunk in the Spirit. He'd get so drunk, he'd be laying he'd be laying down, playing his guitar, speaking in tongues with his eyes closed. I'd never seen anything like it. But he told us, he said, just once in a while, just put your instrument down. Get down and get in that good Holy Ghost. You need it. Even musicians, they need it. You can't go very long. You can't maintain that life of God down inside of you if you don't allow that life of God to renew you on a regular basis. So he told us that, and that's something we've always tried to practice. And then he told me, he said there was other things that he, over the years, sitting under his ministry, there's dozens and dozens of things that he's taught and been an example on how to build and how to be prepared for a service. Did you know this goes way back, all the way to Brother Will Souders. That's why we don't have songbooks. The men back there, they were seeking ways to get God to come in, and I appreciate all their efforts. I appreciate everything that those men went through and the things that they tried. They found out that if you have a songbook in your hands, you aren't going to be able to clap. You aren't going to be able to raise your hands. So they found out that simple little choruses, it would free your hands up, and it would make it easier to get in the spirit, and I appreciate that. And then even the way that we clap, we clap on the upbeat, on the downbeat, not the upbeat. They found that that adds more oomph to the song. It puts a little bit more behind it. Brother Smith told me, and one thing he told us, and I told the church in Republic there, we were talking, Brother Parker's been dealing on the three baptisms, and he just got done. Brother Smith, he just got done with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and it was 14 weeks long. Those people know about the Holy Ghost, and so he got up and talked a little bit more about the Holy Ghost, and then I got up during the service. He asked me to get up, and I told him how important having the Holy Ghost dwelling down inside was, and I said, but it's not just enough to have the Holy Ghost down inside. It has to fill up your life, and then the Holy Ghost has to be, sang this one song, Jesus Breaks the Bands as I Raise My Hand. Did you know the Holy Ghost and the Word of God will break the bands that the world has upon you, but you are to become a prisoner unto God. Paul said, know ye not that whom ye yield your members to obey, his servants ye are, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. When you come in here, you're going to be yielding your members, your fleshly members, your emotions. Brother Smith told me, he said, when you come in here, you need to just, you know, use your emotions, use your just, you know, become emotional. It was hard for me to become emotional and to let God bind me. Don't you know God wants to put, just like the world had bands upon us, the Bible talks about God wants to put bands on us, because Paul said this, I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord. Don't you know God wants you to be handcuffed voluntarily? This is a voluntary thing. The world will put you in chains. The rudimentary things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, those things you'll just find yourself bound up in if you're in the world. But God wants a voluntary humility and a worshiping of angels. And so this is a voluntary thing, but God wants to bind us up in righteousness, to establish us. And so he told me, when you come in here, just yield over to the Holy Ghost and let God have his way. And that's not always easy to do, to know the difference between your spirit and God's spirit. But then thank God that we have brothers and sisters that love us. I've made mistakes. There's been times where I thought God was telling me to do something. It wasn't God. It was my own spirit. But y'all loved me enough and had enough patience that you prayed for me enough that I never felt condemned when I made a mistake. You know, this is a good place to practice. This is a good place to practice on what you think God wants you to do. I remember this young man, I don't remember his name, but he came to church years ago, and he said an evangelist came to his church. And they had a church smaller than this one here, and he said there was really nothing going on. This evangelist hopped up, and he grabbed a chair, put it over his head, and started running down the aisle. And he ran on out in the foyer, and he came back with that chair. And when he came back, the Spirit of God started moving. So this young man remembered that. When he was a little bit older, nothing was going on. So his pastor had asked him to set up on a platform. So he was thinking, well, you know, his palms were probably sweaty. He was thinking, I got to do something. So he remembered this evangelist. So he jumped up and hollered. He grabbed a chair, and he put it over his head, and he ran back. And as he started going to the foyer, he said, the only result that we got out of that, of me running back the foyer, was that the legs of the chair put two big holes in the sheetrock above the door. It didn't work for him. But thank God they didn't kick him out, Brother Tally. He found out that that doesn't always work. Just because you run down the center aisle with the chair over your head don't mean the Spirit of God's going to come in. I used to watch people. And I found out, you know, God, each one of us are unique. And each one of us, We have something to add to every service. We have something to add to the body of Christ. God brought us, every one of us here, for a reason. And that's because, well, we need God, but we're needed in this church here. If you're here, it's because God has brought you here to work and to labor. What's that song? Let me work in the field where I was planted. God, don't you know God's planted you in this field, and God wants you to grow and produce fruit, not just for yourself, but your brothers and your sisters can pick fruit off of you, and they can be a partaker of your labors. So we all have something to do, and I used to watch Brother Smith. He's always been a good example of a minister, and I was a young man, and I felt like God had called me to the ministry, and I watched how he did things. And he'd get up, and he would flip his suit coat back a certain way, and he'd put his hand back like there. He probably don't remember it, but I remember it because I used to, being the phlegmatic melancholy, I got that motion just right. I could do it better than he could, in fact. So I'd get up there and I'd flip my coat back like that, and I'd start talking, saying the same words he had said. And everybody just stood there and stared at me. Oh, you talk about burning. And then in the back of mine, I thought, what is wrong with these people? I got my coat flipped back. Don't they see that? Kind of make you want to go back and say, see? Look, Sister Tally, I got my coat flipped back. Now, one thing I never could do, and I never tried it, he used to get real happy. And I don't know, we were younger. Maybe the pulpit was a little bit shorter. Every once in a while, he's got short little legs. He's not a real tall guy, but he's got short little legs. He'd get happy, and he'd just jump straight up, and his knees would end up here on the pulpit.
You ever doing that?
I think that was you. I never tried that, but I tried the coat flip. It didn't work. I tried talking the same way he did. It didn't work either, and I'd get mad at you, not realizing that everybody's unique. Everybody has something to add, and if everybody did the exact same thing, there'd be a lot of needs in our life that would go unmet. As great a Bible teacher and evangelist and pastor as Brother Smith is, God has brought in other gifts into this church to work and to labor and to let God use them in the areas that God has blessed them. We all haven't had the same experience. I've had different experiences in Brother Smith. And when he ministers, and when Brother Tally ministers, or when Brother Daniel ministers, they're ministering the same gospel of salvation, but they're ministering from a different point of view. They're ministering from a different area. They're showing a little bit different light to a different area. And thank God that we have people like that. We need all five of the gifts working in our lives. And then another thing that he told me, there was a man, I'd go to general meetings, and this man was always there. And this man, he was an older man, but he was dry as corn shuck. Oh, it was terrible. In fact, when he would get up to talk, you could just see people would start opening their Bibles. They'd go out and they'd get a drink. They'd go to the bathroom. They'd go downstairs, wherever they were, and they'd get something to eat. And half the sanctuary and half the ministry would get up and they'd walk out. And I always felt bad for them. But I started hearing this message that we're to get behind people. And, you know, I started listening to that man, and he became one of my favorite preachers. Now, he never got me real excited because of his voice. And I remember he would crack a joke, and he'd kind of go, and nobody'd laugh. You know, and because nobody got it. He had a real dry sense of humor. And I got a lot of good golden nuggets from him that people were missing. If they could have sat there and trained themselves to be still and to listen to this man. I think one of the greatest preachers we had in the body was Cornelius Mears. He was monotone. And if you weren't careful, you'd find your mind drifting off. And before long, you had missed a golden opportunity to receive what God had put in that man's life. And that man was filled with the riches and the treasures of God. So Brother Smith told me, he said, and the other ministers, I'd hear him. They'd say, if somebody gets up, learn to get behind that person, whether it's a song leader, whether it's somebody testifying, whether it's a preacher, whether it's a singer, and learn to pull out of them, to learn to be able to receive that thing that God's trying to impart onto us. And it works. I've noticed that, you know, if you'll pay attention, if you'll take notes, and if you'll train yourself, you'll just find yourself getting wonderful truths and wonderful moves of the Spirit. Don Patton and Brother Clyde Patton, they were good examples when they first came to the body. Brother Souders had them down butchering meat. Brother Smith told that story here before. But when they finally did have an opportunity to go into the sanctuary and hear the Word of God, because of their spirit, because of their hunger, they said it just seemed like God opened their brain and poured in the Word of God. And they could see that they were getting it and other people weren't. I want to get it. I want to do whatever it takes to get the nuggets, to get the things, to become established and to move on in God. So over the years, Brother Smith, I remember, there's just so many things he used to work on, and I could keep going on this, but he just asked me to get up and open a service and take up prayer requests and the offering. But I appreciate how he's been working, helping us to know how to prepare for a service, and then when we're in a service, how to work in a service, and how to build a service. And I appreciate that we have a pastor that's able to impart that on to us, and I do appreciate it. So we want to, with all that, I'm glad to be back, but we want to go before the Lord in prayer. And so what prayer requests do we have here tonight? All right, the surgery's in the morning. I talked to Brother Shane right before church, and he's home. He's sore, but he's doing all right. He's encouraged, and he appreciates everybody praying for him. So let's keep praying for Brother Shane. They went through the front of his neck for the surgery, so he'll be down for several more days. Sister Rhonda. All right. Let's remember that. I see some more hands. Sister Sarah. All right. Let's pray for that. And I wasn't here this weekend, but I want to say how good it is to see Brother Gaylor sitting out there. Don't he look good sitting out there?
Yes.
He does look good. I'm thankful that he's here tonight. Let's give him a hand. Yeah. Yeah. All right, what other prayer requests do we have? Sister Abraham. All right, we'll pray for that. And it's good to see Sister Wilkins here tonight, too. I heard you were here this weekend, but I didn't get to see you. That's one thing about Sister Wilkins. If you want inspiration and you're up talking or singing, look at her. Just look at her, or look at Brother Crow or Sister Crow, because they know how to pull it out of you. They do. They've learned that secret years ago of how to get what you got. What else do we have? Oh, Sister. All right. All right, let's pray for Sister Catherine. Yeah.
Brother Weininger's having outpatient surgery in the morning. Also, on outpatient on his knee.
Oh, okay.
And also, Brother Fred and Sister Lynette are out of town traveling, so let's pray for them.
Let's pray for Brother Francisco Medley. Has anybody heard from him? Francisco Medley? You heard from him? Good. Thank you, Brother Painter, for calling Brother Francisco. He wants fellowship. Let's call him and let's include him. What else do we have? Any other prayer requests? Sister Wilkinson. Okay. All right. Sister McGowan. Thank you. All right, let's pray for that. Sister Brooklyn, you got your hand up? Oh, pray for Sean. Okay, that'd be your cousin, Uncle Sean. Isn't that uncle? Cousin? Okay. Cousin Sean. All right. Why don't we have the ushers come forward, receive your tithes. And you still got about a month and a half. Those of us that made pledges here a couple months ago, they need to be paid by December 31st, so you still got almost 2 months. So remember that, and remember foreign missions. Let's remember to pray for our brother and sisters in the Dominican and also Haiti. All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. God, for your mercy. Lord, we appreciate so much, God, your loving hand upon us and your tender care you've shown toward us, God. We want to pray for Sister Wilkinson's grandson, Josh, and her family, Sister Abraham's family. This letter, God, would you give her direction, Lord? I want to pray for Brother Kyle, that you would touch his life, God. Lead him and direct him, Lord. God, oh God, oh God. For Sister Catherine Dotson, God, touch her, Lord. The infirmity of her body, God, touch her. Help her, Jesus. Oh God, for our brothers and sisters, Lord. They're in the Dominican and in Haiti, God. Help them with their needs, God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For Brother Medley, God, keep touching them. For Brother Shane and for Brother Adams, God, Jesus, 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 and all these other prayer requests, Lord, spoken and unspoken. God, we're needy people. We need your help, Lord. Hallelujah. And we want to thank you in advance for helping us, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. Glory to God. You can be seated.
Test, test. Got a new song I'm going to work on. She walked into the church one summer Sunday evening. She tiptoed in and sat down in the first pew she came to. Then we sang a song, and it wasn't long till I heard the lady weeping. As she began to pray, I heard her say, Lord, what must I do? Well, she walked up to the altar and raised her hands toward heaven and said, Lord, I ain't leaving till I feel you once again. You know it wasn't but a minute God poured out his spirit. Big old tears rolled down her face. God washed her free from sin. Look how God's working. His lost sheep are coming home. He wants you back in his tender care. You've been wandering much too long. His big arms are open wide. If you're lost, alone, and hurting, nothing short of a miracle to see how God is working. I too had strayed away from the safety of the Lord, stumbling out in darkness like a drunkard in the dark. I felt so alone out in this cold and heartless world. I wondered if God could hear my beating broken heart. Then one day I made my way back to the arms of my first love. I can't imagine why I'd ever want to leave. often ask myself, what were you thinking of? It's amazing how God worked things out, and I'm where I need to be. Look how God's working. His lost sheep are coming home. He wants you back in his tender care. You've been wandering much too long. His big arms are open wide. If you're lost, alone, and hurting, he's nothing short of a miracle to see how God is working. Look how God's working. His lost sheep are coming home. He wants you back in his tender care. You've been wandering much too long. His big arms are open wide. If you're lost, alone, and hurting, it's nothing short of a miracle to see how God is working. She walked into the church one summer Sunday evening. She tiptoed in and sat down in the first pew she came to. Then we sang a song, and it wasn't long till I saw the lady weeping. As she began to pray, I heard her say, Lord, what must I do? Well, she walked up to the altar and raised her hands toward heaven and said, Lord, I ain't leaving till I feel you once again. You know it wasn't but a minute. God poured out his spirit. Big old tears rolled down her face, and God washed her free from sin. Look how God's working. His lost sheep are coming home. He wants you back in his tender care. You've been wandering much too long. If you're lost, alone, and hurt, it's nothing short of a miracle to see how God is working.
hard to believe that things will never change, and despair comes over you till you're almost swept away. That's when I heard the sweetest words I can hear him say. Look up and not around you. Don't give up. My arms are around you. I know each tear that you cry, and I know tried everything, talked to family and friends, when you just can't go any farther and you feel you're about to fall, just reach up to Jesus and know him when you call. Look up and not around you. And everything looks wrong. You feel your strength is fading, and you don't feel very strong. That's when you look to Jesus, and you don't look at men, because he's still the King of Kings. He owns everything. Look up. Start to believe that things will never change, and despair comes over you till you're almost swept away. That's when I heard the sweetest words I can hear him say. Look up and not around you. Don't talk to family and friends. When you just can't go any farther and you feel you're about to fall, just reach up to Jesus and know him when you call. Look up. to believe that things will never change, and despair comes over you till you're almost swept away. It's when I heard the sweetest words I can hear him say, look up and not around you, don't give up, his arms are around you, he knows each tear that you cry, and he knows the reasons why he'll fill your cup, if you just look up, look up and not around you, don't give up, his arms are around you, he knows each tear. Just look up, look up and not around you, don't give up, his arms are around you, he knows each tear that you cry, and he knows the reason why he'll fill your cup, if you just look up. Look up and not around you, don't give up, his arms are around you, he knows each tear that you cry, and he knows the reasons why he'll fill your cup, if you just look up. If you just look up, look up and not around you, don't give up, his arms are around you, he knows each tear that you cry, and he knows the reason why he'll fill your cup, if you just look up. Don't give up, his arms are around you, he knows each tear that you cry.